What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Mongols Podcast. I'm Mike. With me is Kev and Josh. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk all about the USL schedule, who had the best, worst Penn FC logo, and Hounds Director of Communications and Creative Anthony Meyer is going to join us to talk about what it's like working in the Hounds front office. Let's go!
Can you believe that, guys?
No, I mean, that is one of the craziest sequence of events we've seen in quite a period of time.
In the top right corner, gentlemen. Out to the middle, back to
gentlemen, welcome back.
Hello, hello.
Thank you.
I feel he's surprised every time we let him back on the podcast. He acts like he might get dropped any minute now.
I know. That thank you was like I just handed you a towel in the men's room or something. Like it just felt very, very formal.
No, you said welcome and I said thank you.
Yeah. Okay. What's going on, Kev?
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing at all. My response to this question and me saying thank you the way I did is just me kind of reinforcing the stereotype of all kind of researcher people. So
I'm not doing a very good job. Stereotype? I didn't know there was like a stereotype for researchers.
Surely you're being sarcastic.
I'm not a researcher. I don't know.
I'm not being sarcastic.
No, yeah, we're just,
that's right.
We're we're socially awkward. We don't know how to talk to humans. We just look at computer screens and lab coats all day. But
okay, that's fair. Josh, what's going on there? I saw you guys released a new episode of Filmverse.
Yep, Filmverse is officially back to our weekly schedule, and I have an episode I have to edit after we record this episode. So we should be back on the every Tuesday train. So I'm excited to get that going again. And other than that, not much. Just still kind of trucking with designing the house and getting furniture, and we're looking at sectionals now. It's very Ooh. Exciting.
Nice, very nice.
What was it from? Was it the old school movie with Will Ferrell? And he's like, got a lot to do today. We're gonna go to Home Depot.
That's right.
Bed Bath and Beyond. Or something.
Got a nice little day planned.
Yeah.
You know what? Fill it up again. Fill it up again. Yeah. Speaking of filling it up, the USL schedule was finally released. I say finally, it feels like it was released earlier than last year. I didn't actually go back and check and see when it was released last year, but the way that the USL front office kept teasing when it would come out, it felt like you had to say finally before saying that the schedule was released. So, you know, everybody's had a few days to sort of digest what's going on with the upcoming schedule. I feel like I don't want to say that like the schedule announcement is somewhat overblown. I know everybody likes to plan like what games we're going to travel to and things like that. And especially in the preseason, everybody's sort of grasping at whatever pieces of information they can find. And so the schedule is this one big like data dump that everybody can look at. But I think at least from my standpoint, when I look at it, I'm like, there's nothing I really don't know that I didn't know before, except for a few different sorts of matchups. Like, I don't know how good these teams are going to be. We have a sense of how good some of these teams are going to be, but I can't predict, based on just the schedule, you know, how things are going to shake out. So let's run through just a couple of those key things that we were able to dig out, and then I'll get your guys' impressions on, you know, the schedule, some of the key matchups you're looking forward to, things like that. So first of all, we're going to play, four teams? Yes, four teams three times. So we're going to play Harrisburg three times, Cincy three times, TFC 2 three times, and Indy 11 three times. Everybody else we're going to play twice. We have four Wednesday matches, which isn't, I guess, terrible. July 4th, which has become sort of a staple at Highmark Stadium, is going to be on a Wednesday. That's going to be against North Carolina FC. So we do get to keep the July 4th game at home against North Carolina FC. You know, red, white, and blue. That's going to feel very patriotic. And the only road trip to Harrisburg, September 26th, is on a Wednesday, which is just like,
womp, womp, womp.
Yeah, like,
That's the one thing I don't like about the schedule. It was pretty much the only thing I'm like, oh, man, seriously?
I mean, obviously you guys haven't made any final decisions yet, but do you think this kills the idea of a road trip for the Steel Army?
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to do a bus to Harrisburg now, but we will still plan like a carpool to Harrisburg. Just on a Wednesday, we're not going to get enough people to fill up a bus. We already know that. But so we are looking at other dates for a possible bus trip. We're thinking maybe Cincy,
ooh,
since we have two away games with them, where we want to go. But yeah, so we don't know which date yet or for sure if it will be Cincy, but that's where I think most people are leaning towards our big away trip.
Well, I was going to say Harrisburg is what, 5 hours from Pittsburgh?
Somewhere like that, yeah. I mean, they're not that different.
Yeah, Cincy's about 5 hours too.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. It's going to be the same amount of time. It just, we've always done Harrisburg because they're our actual rival, right, not the made-up one that right, the league tries to push on us.
Exactly.
So, but Cincy, you know, it's a good atmosphere there. It could be interesting to see the stadium. And yeah, so that might be our away trip. We don't know yet, though, for sure.
Yeah. Our last home match will be October 6th against Bearcats FC. And the last regular season match will be against Red Bulls 2 on October 14th. Our buddy Ryan Allen, who still hasn't been on the show. We did an interview with him once and lost the whole thing. We kept saying, we're going to have him back. He is now over in England posting pictures of Celtic matches while he studies abroad for a semester, which is fantastic. He spotted on Wikipedia that TFC 2 is claiming that one of the four games that are going to be played in Rochester this year. So the league has already said that Rochester is still going to be home to a few games this season, even though the Rhinos have folded. Apparently, one of those four games that's going to be played in Rochester is going to be our May 5th match against TFC 2. Apparently, in all of these games, TFC 2 is going to be the de facto home team in Rochester. So this isn't going to be like they're taking one of our home games from Highmark Stadium. This will count as a road trip for us. But it's interesting that, you know, we're going to be going to play in Rochester. I don't think it's surprising, but I think obviously with the connection with Bob Lilly and with some of the players, it might be somewhat of a homecoming. You know, there might be a warm reception for the Hounds in some regard, in the sense that it might feel more like a home game for them than TFC 2. So that could be an interesting one to keep an eye out for. But otherwise, we've had a few days to digest the schedule. Guys, I asked you sort of before we got started here, you know, what two or three games are you circling on your calendar as potential, you know, keys to the season, or just ones that you looked at and you went, you know, hell yeah, like I want to scope that one out. And maybe we'll do this like ping pong style. So rather than one give us all three or two or three, we'll just go back and forth. So Josh, do you want to take a game first and then we'll send it to Kevin and see if he can hit it back to you?
Yeah, I mean, for Steel Army reasons, I'm kind of circling around September, the Cincinnati game, September 1st, because it's far enough away where it gives us more time to plan a bus trip, and I have a feeling that might end up being it. I don't, you know for sure, we haven't decided, but that's my game. I'm kind of thinking, as far as a fan and a Steel Army member, that might be a big one for us.
Kev?
Yeah, personal reasons out of the way. I mean, the first one that I kind of circled was first game of the season away at Nashville, because that's one that I could potentially go to. Yeah, Saturday, March 24th. I'm pretty excited about that possibility. But also, I mean, for kind of non-personal reasons, I mean, it's going to be the first time we'll see a pretty radically different Hounds. I mean, you know, a bunch of new players, new coach, new kits. So it'll be cool. That's my first one. I'll wait for my second one.
All right, Josh, I guess back to you. I have one tucked away. I'll throw one.
I was gonna say, you're not gonna go next.
I'll go. Go ahead. You go.
I think for myself, it's gonna be about the old guard. So I'm looking at our first old guard. Well, I guess it's not our first one because Harrisburg is our first one. But I think the next one is Charleston, if I remember right. For Old Guard, just kind of like seeing where that is shaping up to be. Usually early on, you can kind of get a good feel for where the teams stack up. So that's going to be my next one.
Yeah. Kev, back to you.
Saturday, September 8th, home to Bethlehem Steel. Once again, slightly
why you go first.
Because, you know, the game I went to last season was Bethlehem, and it was such a good game. We won 3-2. But also, I mean, I think this starts... I don't know, maybe the most important stretch of the season, if the season plays on paper, which obviously it doesn't. But this game starts a three-match home stretch where we get three home games back-to-back. And then the last four games of the season follow after that, and three of them are away against some pretty tough opposition other than Penn FC, hopefully. I think that home game against Bethlehem in early September, I think it's going to be I don't know, a lot could be riding on it already. Just kind of looking at how the fixture list kind of plays out. So we'll see kind of what happens there.
I guess if I had to pick one game, I'm going to pick like four games because I don't know when this is going down yet. But, you know, obviously last season we had a big show where, Kevin, you came in for vacation and we came down, we did a big blowout. I think talking to Casey, you know, our buddy Casey, we're probably going to do an even bigger blowout this year when we come to a game. And that's shaping up to probably be sometime in early to mid-August. So I'm looking at, you know, it's probably not going to be as early as the Kickers on August 1st at home, but TFC, we play on the 4th at home. We play the Independents on the 18th. It might be really fun to come see the Rowdies on the 22nd. Our buddies Matt and Dan from the Unused Subs have talked about potentially coming up for that one. So that could be a huge party if they come up to hang out as well. So I think those are the ones that I'm sort of, just from a personal selfish standpoint, I'm sort of circling and looking at and thinking those would be a blast to go to. I guess anything else about the schedule that sort of jumps out at you guys that you're excited about, or Josh?
So I would be super interested if that rumor is true and Toronto FC2 is playing a game in Rochester against us, because I mean, let's be honest, that would essentially be a home game for us.
Yeah.
It's close to us, so we could do a, you know, car trip there, which a lot of Steel Army members already talked about. If that's true, we will do that. But also, I mean, half our team, not half, but you know, a good amount of our players
as of right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. From Rochester, their previous team, and we have Lily. So I mean, like, all intents and purpose, that's like a home game against the worst team in the league from last season. So the fact that we have three games against them, that's not too shabby for us. That's a pretty good get.
I was gonna say, you know, three games against Harrisburg, three games against TFC too. I mean, that's, you can't really argue too much with that. We'll obviously see how they shake out, but we also have three games against Cincy, and we really don't know how good Indy 11 is going to be this year. I mean, we talked about them a little bit last week, but obviously they're going to want to come in and prove themselves. So lots of stuff to sort of look at and try to dissect here from the schedule. But like I said, for me, it's hard to really get a read on what to expect, because a lot of these are teams that we knew we were going to see anyway. And the way that things are stacked up, it's hard to tell who's really going to be good. I mean, we think Louisville is basically returning their whole team from last year, so we know they're probably going to be good. And the Rowdies are always good. And Cincy is going to throw a lot of money at their team as well.
I wanted to ask you guys that question. I'm kind of out of the loop with that kind of stuff. I mean, there's no real, I don't know, is there any kind of, like, I don't want to say revitalization, that's not the right word, but since he didn't get the MLS bid, I mean, is there any like talk about where that club is now going? I mean, if they're for the foreseeable future just sitting in the USL, I'll be really curious to see how that kind of affects the whole club and the whole fan base. I mean, that could be a pretty big knock on them. And yeah, I'll be really interested to see how kind of Cincy, I don't know, progresses over this season and next season in the face of not getting an MLS bid.
I don't think they're out of the running completely, are they? I thought the decision got delayed farther, and yeah. We still don't know for sure who gets that final spot. I think there's only one spot left. So it could still be announced, but it's not looking as sure. Yeah. Thing as we previously thought, well, as Cincy fans previously thought it was.
Right.
Just saying.
Yeah, it's still down, I think, to Cincy, Sacramento, and Detroit. I think Detroit is still in the running somehow. But they're still going to announce at least one more team, and who knows if the MLS will announce more after that. I was about to get into it a little bit with, not get into it like heated, but I was going to try to address that question a little bit with Brian, our buddy from Cincinnati Soccer Talk, when I was on the USL show this past week, which if you haven't heard that, go head over and listen, because there's a lot of cool info about Bethlehem Steel, about the Red Bulls, about Cincy. I tried to do my best to represent us. Like I said, Comcast dropped me three times during the call, so I wasn't able to get my question out to him. But otherwise, it was a really good episode, so go check that out. We will obviously be talking to the Cincy guys and getting their read on things and seeing how they feel sort of as a fan base about this whole process, because I just can't imagine what it would be like to sort of get dragged through this. You guys have done everything you need to do. You've got the money. You've got the backers. You've got the fans, and MLS is still like, we're going to try Nashville, like who don't even have a team. Like, they're just getting a team now, but
MLS is a little bit mad at Ohio right now in general with Columbus, so maybe that has something to do with that.
Well, and I'm willing to bet that part of the reason why the announcement wasn't made is they're waiting to see how this whole Columbus thing shakes out.
And that's very possible. Yeah.
So if Columbus moves, then they say, okay, well, now we'll give Cincy a team. And if Columbus doesn't move, then, like, maybe we don't need a team in Cincy. Maybe we'll look to Detroit or Sacramento or who knows. So, yeah. So, you know, that's sort of our read just on what's going on with the schedule. If there's any games that really jump out at you, let us know on Twitter. It's always fun to have these conversations before the season starts. So share them. Share your thoughts. We'll share them around. Everyone can jump in the conversation, tell you why you're wrong or right, or we can start planning tailgate parties and all of that and just have a lot of fun. So
I'm in.
Yeah. That's a lot about the schedule. A couple other pieces of news here before we bring Anthony in. Big news, Adidas was named as the new kit sponsor for the Hounds, which up, you know, for the past 5 years, it's been Nike. And now all of a sudden we get this announcement. We knew that the deal was up with Nike. And I think myself, I just sort of assumed they would re-up with Nike. Instead, they were able to land a deal with Adidas. The deal is effective immediately, but the image that was released said coming February 16th. So, I sort of put out on Twitter, what's coming on the 16th? Wink, wink, nod, nod. And basically got trolled by both Tuffy and the Hounds Twitter, telling us absolutely nothing. What are your guys' thoughts? What do you think is coming February 16th? Josh, what do you think?
I mean, it seems like it's probably going to be a kit reveal. We're going to see what the jerseys look like, what's going to happen there. But there's a lot of speculation, a lot of people thinking that maybe possibly rebrand. It feels like way too much to ask to have them do a rebrand this late in the game. But people are, really seeming to put all their eggs in that basket. They think it's going to happen. I have no clue. I refuse to get my hopes up because I've been a proponent of a rebrand for a long time. Not necessarily the name. I don't think the cartoon dog we have as a logo is a good logo for a professional team. And it feels very dated. So I would love a rebrand as far as the logo goes, but I dare not dream such a big dream.
Kev, do you dream a dream?
It's because you're an Everton fan, Josh.
Exactly. It really is. I know better. I'm from Ohio. I used to root for the Browns. I'm an Everton fan. I'm not used to being, happy.
What's the line? I'd rather be optimistic and wrong than pessimistic and right. I mean, so.
Can only take so much disappointment. All right, Kevin? I'm sorry, but.
Hey, a rebrand would be great for all the reasons that Josh just mentioned. I'm trying to remember, when do you think the first time we mentioned that on this podcast? It feels like we've been talking about it kind of tangentially, if that's the right word, for a while now.
I've been talking about it for 5 years, ever since I learned about the Riverhounds. So.
I was going to say, yeah, and I'm sure it's been going on in discussion circles far past what we have right here much, much later, like you just said, Josh. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty excited about the prospect of that. But who knows? I mean, maybe, big new signing. Who knows that who that could be? It'll be exciting nonetheless. I'll have my ears perked up.
Yeah. Josh, you mentioned, too, that all of the marketing material seems to have this hashtag new era unleashed, which, gives a little bit of credence to maybe it's more than just a kit reveal. Who knows?
I mean, there's a lot of clues that could be happening. Yeah. I just refuse to get my hopes up at them. Like, I feel like if I was being optimistic, I would think it's happening, but no.
Yeah. So, again, let us know what you think is happening on the 16th, because it's less than a month away now. I had to sort of check my watch to see where we're at here. But, sooner than later, we're going to start getting some more news about this team. We got training camp starts on February 5th. So that's going to be happening sooner rather than later. We're going to hear all of, obviously, about more team player signings, all of that. So lots of good stuff, hashtag new era unleashed for sure. So this is going to be fun. Last week, we decided to have a bit of a contest. I guess we'll call it a contest, where we talked about how terrible Penn FC's logo is. And I was originally going to say who can come up with the best Penn FC logo. And Josh, you said, no, we should see who can make the worst Penn FC logo. So we put the call out on Twitter. We mentioned it on the show, and then we put the call out on Twitter. We said, who can make the worst Penn FC logo? And it was funny because it seemed like every submission that came out, everyone was like, No, that's still not as bad as the actual Penn FC logo.
I told you it was going to be hard.
It was hard, man. It was really, really hard. So if you want to see, you know, some of those submissions, I could talk through some of them now, but they're all over on Twitter. Our buddies over at the Cincy Soccer Talk put out, basically it looks like a picture of Ben Franklin with Penn FC underneath it. It just says Penn, home of kite deaths, underneath it. Our buddy, Evan Valella, who hosts the USL show, just sent us a picture of a pen sitting next to a bottle opener.
I was confused by the bottle opener. I understand the pen. I don't know if that's supposed to be a part of it. I don't know if that just it was in that shot.
Evan just has a drinking problem, and it just
happened
to be
there. Yeah, I wasn't
positive
about that one.
Laura Ellen sent us a picture she drew on a Post-it note. It's basically a bridge with a keystone shape behind it, and underneath it she has pen question mark FC. And she clarified that, yes, the question mark was intentional because, what, like, you know, there aren't any other teams that play in Pennsylvania? What the heck?
I'm pretty sure hers is actually the best logo out of all the ones we got. Like, actually, it looks like it could be a logo.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
she won your original contest.
Yes, I agree. She hers is the best. There were a couple teams that were announced for the PDL. There's one in particular recently that now I'm blanking on that was shared amongst the BGN hosts that the logo is just killer. And this, it almost sort of reminds me of this. It was basically a crest shape with an anvil on it and a hammer, and now I'm blanking.
Oh, no, that's actually, I thought that's a USL team, a new USL team, Birmingham.
Oh, that's right. That's Birmingham, who's coming in 2019. So, yeah, this sort of reminds me of that just a little bit. But But yeah, good stuff from Laura Ellen. Josh, you put out a couple of bowling pins getting knocked over by a soccer ball, and you put
I was
PFC
doing a pun.
On it.
I figured, what's worse than a bad logo? It's a bad pun. So a pin, bowling pins. So that was my attempt.
Yeah, I went the opposite direction with the pen pun, and basically just ripped off the Bic logo. And took the little Bic character and gave him a soccer ball head, and then put a hole in the outline just like they have, and had all the ink draining out of the logo. So
I'm ashamed to say that I didn't catch on right away. I like looked at it, I'm like, that's weird looking, and then I like it dawned on me slowly. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. I had to like Google the Bic logo. I'm like, yep, okay, that's the same thing. Got it.
Yeah, I wasn't subtle enough apparently. So
Mike took a day off from work to make that logo. Dude,
you have like explanations about why everything's where it's at. Like, it looks like a real press release for a new logo. That was impressive.
That's what everybody does these days. And honestly, we originally said, like, you know, pencil paper, take a picture of it. And I went to draw, and I was like, I can't draw. So honestly, like, for me to just grab the Bic logo, it took me like 5 minutes. I do this way too much. So yeah. don't put any more stock in that than that. So thanks to everybody who submitted. I think that was a lot of fun. You know, obviously it's not too late. If you have an idea for a best worst Penn FC logo, or even if you want to take a stab at making a logo that's better than Penn FC, from what we've learned, it's not that hard. It's more difficult to make one that's worse. So take a stab at it. It's fun.
A reminder, we're still looking for good nicknames for Penn FC. My personal favorite right now is Penn 15. If you remember grade school and junior high, you'll probably remember that joke. And I feel like that's a good one.
I don't remember that joke, so I need to...
Yeah, me neither, dude. This is the wrong place.
Guys, write it on a piece of paper. Penn 15.
Oh,
and then look at it, what it looks like. And then that's the joke.
That's actually a good one.
Now you're not immature enough.
Ugh. 10-15 it is.
I like it. Like, oh, that's funny.
10-15. All right, done. Penn 15. That is their new nickname. We have Cincy, who are Bearcats FC, and we have Penn 15 on the other side.
Yes.
I like it. Good stuff. I guess the other thing before we get Anthony in here real quick is I put out a picture on Twitter using the Mongols account. Our buddy Evan created some stickers for the USL show, and I had it plastered on the back of my laptop. And I said, hey, these are pretty cool. You know, if we were to get some of these for, you know, like Mongol stickers, who would want them? And a bunch of people said they wanted them. So what I did was I created a form over at mongols.com. All you got to do is just go to mongols.com, and it pops up right away. Just enter your address, and we'll send you one for free. We're feeling generous. Figure why not? What the hey? If we're going to get a bunch made, we might as well send them out to people that want them. I don't want to hold on to them here. So if you want a free sticker that you can slap on your laptop or put on a window, I'm thinking about doing, they have like clear ones. that then have just like the logo. So if you want to put it on a window or something like that, maybe we'll go that route. It'll go on your laptop. They're waterproof. So you want to put them on like a ski or a snowboard or something now, you could do that. I don't know why you'd want a Mongol sticker on one of those, but yeah. So just go to mongols.com. You'll get the little pop-up, enter your address. We'll send you one for free as soon as they're printed. Otherwise, let's get Anthony in here. Anthony, welcome to the show, man, and thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. Good to be here.
I have mentioned a few times on the show that you are the one behind the scenes lining up all the coach and player interviews that we have on here, but you obviously do far, far more than that. For those who don't know, you know, we wanted to have you on because nobody listening here really has ever had the experience of working in the front office for a professional sports team. So just like take a minute if you can and just sort of describe what your responsibilities are. So when people see you, they're like, oh, that's what Anthony does.
Yeah. I mean, it's a couple of things, obviously the media relations side. So I'm coordinating interviews, whether it's with you guys or people from DK or the Trib and whatnot, Grubba. But you know, on top of that, you know, with a smaller team like us, we try to make sure that our website's kind of like a hub of information for everybody that wants to, you know, wants to look into us and whatnot. And so it's kind of like a two-pronged thing. I mean, we're you know, we want to have external media covering us, but also we need to treat kind of the internal, the organizational internally. We just need to kind of treat it as a kind of like a newsroom approach almost. So, you know, we did like the blog last year. You know, we're making sure that we're getting out releases pretty much on everything for you guys, just for you guys to cover from an informational standpoint. So, yeah, it's kind of like media relations professional, but then also maybe like a journalist approach a little bit too, or a journalist mindset or a reporter mindset. And then on top of that, I handle all the social media channels. So, our big three right now, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and whatnot. I do a lot of the design work. The graphic design work. So a lot of the visuals that you guys are seeing come out, you know, that's coming from our office. So, I mean, I would say that those are probably the big three, but from an organization, you know, with a smaller front office staff, there's a ton of crossover. You know, we're all kind of in the marketing meetings together, coming up with ideas, and everybody kind of has a hand in everything that goes out. And that's kind of what you see with us. So yeah, it's definitely, you know, we all have our titles, but they're certainly just titles, and we definitely branch out.
So if anybody ever gets trolled on the Riverhounds Twitter account, that's you. is that what you're saying?
Yeah, usually me and Simon, our media manager, we share an office, so it's basically us monitoring Twitter, and then if we get like a tweet and we're like, hey, you know, how should we reply to this? And we kind of bounce ideas off each other. And we go with that. I think it's always to have somebody that you can kind of bounce ideas off of, so you're not just like unchecked with power by yourself. So
that's how I live my life, man. Come on.
Unchecked with unlimited power.
Right. And I know that, you know, I've talked to you a number of times, obviously, during the season, and it just seems like this crazy, chaotic time period. You know, walk us through sort of a typical work, you know, week for you in terms of there's a game on Saturday. What do you sort of have in your mind, and what do you have to deliver over the course of that next upcoming week before the next game?
Yeah, I mean, obviously during the season, it's a lot busier. But the off season is also very busy because you're planning for the upcoming season. So, I mean, like right now it's busy because, you know, we got player signings, we got the schedule coming out and whatnot. So there's a lot of prep there. But for like game weeks and whatnot, the nice thing about working in season is usually you find a structure and you kind of have like a set schedule. So like Monday rolls around, it's like, you know, update the stats, get everything together there, you know, start compiling stuff for your matchup for the preview, maybe on Thursday and whatnot, get the game day graphics together. So it's kind of, it's a little bit easier to kind of break down and have goals, and it's, and the deadlines are kind of like next day deadlines rather than like right now. Like I said, you know, we're thinking about, you know, what are we going to put out for print materials? You know, what is it, schedule posters, or what are we going to, you know, with our ticket plans and the marketing side of it, those things. And then, you know, just getting the players in the kits and media day and whatnot, and having all that stuff set up for when, you know, what you guys see during the season, whether that's in graphics or it's in the game day programs or the media guides and whatnot. So, yeah, it's, it keeps you busy. It definitely keeps you busy.
So yeah, as Mike already kind of alluded to, you're the one who kind of lines up all the player interviews that we have on the show. So from the outside looking in, you know, you're seemingly kind of around the guys at least somewhat a lot, and you're kind of tapped into that atmosphere. What's it like to kind of be in that environment? And is it kind of, you know, is it what you expected when you kind of applied to work for this pro sports team?
Yeah, definitely. I went to school for journalism, so I wanted to be a reporter initially, and then I kind of realized, oh, I could work for the teams that I'm covering, and I kind of like that aspect a little bit more, so I kind of made that jump, that crossover. In my previous experience, you know, it's been internships or a grad assistantship and whatnot, so it's maybe not as been heavily involved as this one in terms of player interaction, but it's something that you know comes with the territory. And I started a couple games into the 2016 season, so that was a little bit, you know, that's always a little bit tough because you're coming in already when everybody's kind of in that mindset in the season and whatnot, and then you're like the new guy showing up and it's like, hey, I'm handling your interviews and whatnot, you know, we need to do this and do that. And you know, a lot of that stuff, it takes time to develop relationships and whatnot, because there's a trust factor, and you want to know that you want the guys to know that you have their back and whatnot, and their best interest in mind. And that's not something that is immediately something that you can just, you know, have happen. So I've enjoyed it more as we, you know, move forward. Like last season was a lot of fun having some of the returners and seeing that there's continuity there, and they're like, oh, hey, I remember you from last season. Like, it was easier to talk to the guys like Kevin and Mike and Danny and whatnot, and just being able to, like, there's just a better rapport there. And then as
kind of like a fan asking you this question, I mean, like, I'm just curious, like, you know, when you interact with them, is it generally kind of perceived, at least in the staff, that the players are kind of like this untouched resource, and you only speak to them when you need to, or are they kind of approachable? Like, can you kind of just, you know, see them in the hallway and have a quick chat or whatever? Like, how's that kind of?
No, definitely. They're definitely approachable. And a lot of the guys are involved with the academy too. So, you know, when we're having academy practices at the stadium and whatnot, they're just showing up in the office and kind of hanging out beforehand. And you can have conversations with them then. It's not like some, you know, there's like some giant wall, and, you know, or like, you can only open the door when you need something or something like that. I think that's kind of like the fun part, is that you know, growing up like as a fan, like if I was growing up a fan of like the Steelers and whatnot, you know, you kind of look at those players and you're like, oh, it'd be crazy to, you know, them and whatnot. And it's, at the end of the day, everybody's just, you know, people, and we're all going through the same highs and lows and everything throughout the season. And that's something you kind of quickly get accustomed to, and the better that you get accustomed to it, the better that your relationships with everyone's going to be, rather than, you know, maybe being a little bit tentative and whatnot.
Right. And then following up on the whole kind of environment question, I mean, have you noticed a change in the kind of high mark environment with the switch over from Coach Brandt to now to Coach Lilly?
I can't really say too much to that, just because, you know, the roster's still building and really not all the guys are in town yet. So you really don't get a good feel of just, you know, the mood and whatnot until like training camp starts up, and, you know, you're down there and you're talking with the guys, and obviously media is going to pick up a little bit and you're going to need more. So you're just interacting and whatnot. You know, in the short time that Bob's been here, it's been a lot of fun, you know, talking to somebody like Bob. I've really enjoyed it. And then I really enjoyed when Dave was here as well. You know, like, Dave was one of like the first coaches that, you know, for me, from a professional standpoint, that, you know, I really built a relationship from the start throughout, you know, cause I was here when he started and whatnot. And, it was just a pleasure to work with them. And then there's carryover now. I mean, obviously Dan's still here. Dan Visser's still here. Hunter's still here. So it's not like this complete like 360, but there's good vibes or whatnot going on. And I can definitely say that.
So with your time that you've been there, what's like one of the coolest things that you've been a part of, or that, you know, that's happened to you while involved with the organization?
I'd say probably the most fun that I had was when we won the Derby Cup last year. Because I always make sure to make the trip to Harrisburg. Simon typically travels with the team since he's doing video and whatnot, and it's good to have him on the ground and getting that footage. But if the games are close, I definitely like to travel. And I made the trip to Harrisburg twice because I know that we had a chance to clinch way earlier in the year, you know, and, you know, it was, it, you know, you did the drive at like 10 o'clock, you get there at 1:30, and then you don't get back to Pittsburgh until 2 a.m. and whatnot. Same as what the guys are doing traveling, but, you know, they weren't able to get it then. And it was just kind of like, oh, but, you know, but then you get it later in the season. And it was just, I mean, it was just an awesome atmosphere and it was a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. Cause I mean, obviously, as you guys know that, you know, we've had highs and we've had lows the past two seasons. And that was definitely like a really big high. Cause you know, we won it and, you know, we were there and, you know, we got to celebrate it. You know,
as much as I would have liked to have clinched it earlier, I'm kind of glad we didn't do it until that last game because we had a whole busload of people, so it was a lot more fun. And the atmosphere was there, and yeah, it was a blast. That's one of my favorite games I've been to.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, it was good to have you guys on the bus there, and it provided for just a much better atmosphere, and it was a lot of fun. And that was that. Yeah, I would have to say that was probably my most enjoyable experience.
Now, when you travel, do you like travel on the bus with the guys, or are you guys in like a follow car, or what's the situation like there?
So when Simon travels, he travels with the team. So like, you know, he's doing the whole thing, whether it's on the bus or if they're flying and whatnot. If I'm traveling, I'm just taking a Houndsmobile and a couple interns and saying, this is what we're doing. This is what we're capturing. You know, you guys be ready.
You guys drive so I can sleep in the back. Yeah.
No, I'm sad. I drive. I have to make sure and get that point across. But yeah, I drive. I think that's one of the fun things about working in the USL is, especially just from an aspect of there's a lot of creative freedom, or at least with the Hounds. Like, I really enjoy it. There's a lot of creative freedom and being able to just, you know, have interns that you can kind of just say, hey, you know, hey, go out there and do what you need to do. And it's not going to be hard. You don't have to go through this arduous process. Or if you're going to, like, I don't know, I'm sure, you know, up in the higher leagues, it's a little bit more difficult to roll with a pack of interns to a place and whatnot, but I enjoy it.
So obviously there's other pro teams in town, most of them with tons of much more marketing money than what you guys have at the Hounds. If we can kind of magically give you the budget of, say, the Steelers or the Penguins, what's one of the top two or three things that you'd like to do that you currently aren't doing?
I would love for us to get on TV consistently. That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's big for us. Yeah.
And I can also say that that's something that, you know, it's definitely prevalent with us, and we're trying our best to make that happen. But I mean, I think that would be the first thing, because I mean, just having that exposure from a television standpoint, even with the three games on CW last year, it was just kind of fun to like not have to fire up YouTube.
Yeah.
And just be able to like turn on the TV and everything. So I mean, I think that'd be a big one, but I think it all comes down to just like exposure, like just getting us more out there. I mean, if you have more money, we can take over a bunch of billboards, and we could, you know, you could see us everywhere and whatnot. And I think, yeah, from an exposure standpoint, that'd be the first and foremost thing that I would do.
That'd be cool. Speaking of exposure, I'm guessing you've been exposed to the new kits. Any hints about what they look like? Black.
I have. I will say that, you know, having Adidas come on board, it's super exciting. It's super exciting. They've been really just really into like elevating our product and being a part of it. And that's really exciting. They've helped us put together three custom kits. So
nice.
I don't want to give too much away, but you know, that 2/16 date is when you could probably expect to be seeing those. So, just something to keep in mind.
It feels like you want to tell us. It feels like you really want to tell us.
I would love to tell you guys. I mean, I would love to tell you guys, but I mean, where's the suspense in that?
That's true. This is an audio format. People won't appreciate what it looks like if they can't see it. So
yeah, I'm actually showing it to you guys.
He's not. Don't come hounding us.
Hot pink. I didn't see it coming either. I mean, wow.
You guys know, like, that's perfect. Yeah, you guys all know. it's gonna be exciting. I mean, they're sharp, they're custom kits. So, I mean, it's going to be some unique designs. And I guess the last thing I'll say is no blue. So get that out of your head.
There you go. You heard it here first. No blue.
Something to keep in mind.
So, like I said, we do this with everybody. Obviously, we love having you on. We want to be respectful of your time. We got a couple rapid fire type questions here, just to keep you on your toes, but this has been great. What are you most looking forward to this season, either in terms of something you guys are doing, something on the field? What gets you excited about 2018?
I think, just the buzz around the team. It feels different. It feels different this off season. We got a couple exciting announcements lined up, before the season kicks off. And I think, you're going to really see things ramp up over like the next month, 2 months before the season starts. And I know that everyone, always says, hey, we always hear hype and whatnot and blah, blah, blah. But, I got a pretty good feeling that, before the season starts, we're going to have some really good stuff for you guys. So, that's what I'm really most excited about, is because there's a lot of stuff that, we've been working on and, as the league grows, we want to continue to grow with it. And, that's what I'll say to that, is just that, we want to get up to that standard that I think you guys expect when you think of a pro soccer team. And I think we're doing a really good job with it. So
you are killing me right now, man. You know that, like, all this talk, there's like this like glee on your face. Like, I know there's something there that you're just not telling us.
Yeah.
I won't make you say anymore. Don't worry. what is, so obviously, over the past few years and we're part of this as well, but there are times at the front office, you guys catch a lot of flack. What is the most difficult part of your job that you wish like the fans knew about, that like people say something or they do something and you're like, man, if you had any idea, like, just, yeah.
I don't know. I think that, criticism's good just in general. I mean, I like being able to be, keeping my toes and whatnot. And I think it's good for everybody to kind of, I think that's the positives about having fans and having that people that are passionate about your product, especially, and it's, like a sports city that you guys talked about, just, Penguins, Steelers, the Pirates, like, I mean, those fan bases are enormous. And, I'm grateful for us to have a passionate fan base just with, the level that we're at and whatnot. From a difficulty standpoint, I just think, we're a small front office and whatnot. And, sometimes we always want more resources, but I think it's something that I definitely struggle with. You see all the teams on social media and, whether it's the visuals and whatnot, like, it's such a big part of being a fan now and following a team. And there's always this desire for me to, like, I want to get to that level. I want to be able to do that. But at the same time, like, when you have a smaller staff, you have a ton more responsibilities, and it's sometimes harder to focus in on one or two of those areas. So it's more one of those things where, I don't know, I always heard good advice. I heard good advice when I worked at Kansas State. It was just like, the guy told me, he's like, I'm a master of none. I'm a master of none, but there's like something to that sort, or a master of no things. And for me, like, I think that's kind of the approach you have to take. Like, you're not going to be able to master everything. You just want to make sure that you're really good at everything that you possibly can do. And, sometimes it's not going to be enough, but for our level, I think that's the approach that we try to take with everything.
I mean, we absolutely appreciate, all that you guys do week in and week out during the season. And, I think we've said on this show, you guys have been killing it this off season. So, absolutely keep it up. Before we let you go, real quick, we always like to provide some insight beyond just the team, to the fans out there. So, when you aren't working for the Hounds, what are you typically up to, man? Where are you going? What are you doing?
I guess I'm being a typical person in their 20s. Just, I'm in Southside. I enjoy being out and about on weekends. I think everybody needs that. But I mean, I do the normal weekly stuff. I go to the gym. I watch entirely too much TV. I enjoy video games. And then I'm a big sports nerd too. So, I'm following the Steelers and Penguins, every game and whatnot. Still kind of reeling from the Jacksonville loss, but mm-hmm. It is what it is. But yeah, I mean, that's it's nothing. I don't think it's anything like too out of the ordinary. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
I see the PlayStation controller over your shoulder. What kind of gamer are you? Are you a sports guy? Are you an action guy? What's your poison?
I like to play both. I like NHL a lot, so that's probably my go-to sports game. But then, you know, like right now, I'm playing, I like Destiny, and then I'm playing Fortnite right now because it was free on PlayStation.
It's a good reason.
Yeah, my wife tried to get me into it, and it's incredibly frustrating, but it's like very addicting. So that's been taking up a lot of my time for the past week or so. So yeah, a little bit of both.
Yeah. That's awesome. We know that a number of the guys are video game guys as well, and they get into FIFA. We might have to try to plan some sort of FIFA tournament or something. That could be fun. Just get everybody together.
Definitely. We have that. We always ask them, you know, what's their favorite, you know, FIFA team and whatnot. And pretty much all of them answer. They always got somebody they like playing with. We think that could be something to keep in mind.
Well, awesome, man. This has been fantastic. You know, obviously we couldn't do what we do if it wasn't for the stuff that you do in terms of, you know, getting us guests and all of that. So thank you so much for all of that. Everyone, make sure you go follow Anthony on Twitter at Admiral Meyer. Is that how you pronounce your name? I've been meaning to ask you this and I keep forgetting.
Yeah.
It's Meyer.
Yeah, last name Meyer. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Meier. So thanks again, man. This has been great.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. We'll talk to you soon. So thanks again to Anthony for stopping by. He dropped some like nuggets there. Like I wasn't sure he was gonna give us stuff. We got a few things.
Yeah, no blue.
No blue.
That's interesting. That's a pretty big reveal.
Yeah, yeah. Three kits, no blue. So and
custom
and
kits.
Custom,
yeah, not just the defaults.
Yeah.
Many people don't realize it, but most of the kits we've seen in the past are just the default kits that the like Nike would make, and then they would just slap on our logo and our brand and everything like that. So it's the fact that they're custom kits is really exciting to me.
Yeah.
Makes it feel like a grown-up league.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that we didn't mention earlier is that the deal with Adidas spans from, obviously, the pro team all the way through the academy. So it sounds like all the academy kids are going to be getting new kits as well. It'll be interesting to see because I know the Academy seems to always get some sort of variation on the first team's kits. They're not always the exact same colors. There's some different shades to them. So it'll be interesting to see whether Adidas does the same sort of thing and maybe they get some sort of variation on these custom kits. It could be really cool to scope out. So a lot of stuff to look forward to there. Yeah, again, huge thanks to Anthony for stopping by. Lots of good buzz about the team and the work they've been doing this offseason. All really, really good stuff. So, otherwise, I think that's it for us this week, guys.
I got nothing.
Okay, cool.
I'm trying to mute my mic every once in a while. My computer is just making loud noises. I apologize.
You live in a wind tunnel. It's fine. I guess one thing that we can announce is that next week, Jason Cutney is going to be joining us from the Academy to talk a little bit about what goes on at the Academy. You know, I definitely want to pick his brain about this whole, you know, what's going on with youth soccer movement. They've been doing, you know, whatever you think, they've been doing a ton of things right over at the Academy in terms of churning out players that are moving on and playing at higher levels and things like that. And so to get this sense of what's going on with just youth soccer in general, it's going to be a really great discussion. So if you have any questions or comments for Jason, make sure that you send them to us. Obviously, you can hit us up at Mongols on Twitter, email us at mongols@bgn.fm. If you're looking for more great soccer podcasts, head over to bgn.fm. As I mentioned earlier, the USL show started their preseason previews, so check that out if you want to start hearing about all the different teams. They're doing a good job of having people who cover those teams come on and talk about them and getting all the deets, so check that out. Head over to iTunes, subscribe to the show, leave us a review. If you want to, this thing keeps getting longer and longer. If you want a free Mongols sticker, head over to mongols.com, share your address. As soon as they're printed, we'll send you one. Otherwise, let us know what you thought about the show, guys. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you very, very soon.
Cheers.
Later.
Before you go, please help us to keep doing what we're doing by becoming a supporter of the show. Head over to mongols.com and click on the Become a Supporter button. For as little as $1 per month, just $1, you can help keep the show commercial free while also getting a say in who we interview, the questions we ask, what we talk about, and you can get some sweet gear as well. Thanks again to all of our listeners for your continued support. That's mongols.com. Click on Become a Supporter. mongoals.com. Become a supporter. Thanks.